dedicate this shiur to Am Yisrael. What an amazing nation. Please Hashem, let this bring light and blessing and protection down to the Jewish people and to Eretz Yisrael and to the whole world and to everyone who needs a refuah shlema and to everyone who needs shalom bayis and to everyone who needs to find a zivug and then for everyone who needs happiness, which is pretty much everyone. So pretty much, Hashem, please bring it down. So yeah, so I had this inspiration because Tu B'Shvat's coming and people love to talk about all the fruits and different blessings and the dates and the seven species, and we'll do the Tu B'Shvat Hashem at the Shabbos meal in 2 weeks. And I think we'll even do a Tu B'Shvat shiur at some point. But I wanted to talk about the blessings that people know less about, and that's sanctifying our nose and finding ways to thank God for things we can smell, and our eyes. Which is cool also as a tour guide, because there's a lot of blessings that you can make in Eretz Yisrael that people don't know about. But if they learned it, they would be like, cool, I can make a blessing. It's just a great halacha that for some reason wasn't taught as much as shackles and as illnesses. So I'm basing myself on Rav Elazar Melamed. And if you've hung around here a little bit, you know that he's my posek. He's my rabbi. He's actually the reason why I made Aliyah. Because he has a whole book about why it's important to live in Israel, halachically.
What's his name?
Rav Elazar Melamed.
He's here? He's still alive?
Yeah, he's alive. You can go online. He has YouTube videos. He has shirim. He's translated most of his books to English. And he's the Rav of a yeshuv called Har Ubracha in Shechem, and he's really amazing, because what he does is he translates the Shulchan Aruch to the modern age, 2020, very, you know, connected to reality, and he's also a religious Zionist and tends to not be overly stringent, but always explains himself why he's being.
Tell us again his name.
Rav Elazar, or Eliezer, maybe it's Eliezer, Melamed. But I'll send you a link at the end to some of his shirim and stuff. Don't worry about it. Anyway, so he writes this book, Pnini Halacha, which is probably the most popular halachic sefer in religious Zionist yeshivot. Maybe in your seminary, they quote it. Yeah, because they're religious Zionists. You'll find it. When I was yeshiva bachur, I learned this to learn Hebrew. It was even popular back then, but now it's even more popular. Now it's coming out in English, so it's also a little bit in the modern Orthodox communities hitting.
Is it an easy way to learn Hebrew?
It's a great way to beef up your vocabulary. Because, yeah, he tries not to use overly hard words, but at the same time, it's a little bit more advanced than, like, for Shlomo and stuff like that, which are, like, Americans using very simple words. He's a step above. But yes, when I was trying to beef up my vocabulary when I was first here, this was a great way to learn halacha and a great way to learn Hebrew. So we're going to base ourselves on his beautiful summarizing of the laws of the Shulchan Aruch. And he also blends hashkafa, Jewish philosophy, into his works. So that third meal, we're doing every week a different law of Shabbos, and we always see how it has both halacha and an idea behind it. And that's what I encourage us to do together, not just to think, what is the halacha, but also, what is the idea that the halacha is trying to transmit to our lives? You know? Sounds good? Amazing. Okay. Should we start with smell, or should we start with our eyes? What do you guys think?
Smell?
Okay. I'm going to start with smell. Beautiful. Okay. So the Gemara in Berachot. I'm not going to read it everything straight from the Hebrew because it'll just take a long time. Paraphrase and summarize for together. So the Gemara in Berachos. Everyone's learning Daf Yomi now. So we're almost up to this Daf. Daf Lamed Hey 35. My favorite Perek in all of Shas. Fifth Perek of Berachos. Says like this, from where do the rabbis know that there is a source to bless God when you smell something really nice? Yeah? So it says in the pasuk that we say every day in Pesukei Dezimla, Kol Neshama Tehalil Ka Haluka. all the soul will say, praise the Lord Almighty. Okay? This is my ass. Ezu davar shenashamanenet minenu v'ina gufnenem minenu. What is something that the soul enjoys, the body doesn't really get that much from? Haviomer zereach. Or says, that's smell. When you smell something, apparently, your soul is being revived. It's bringing a certain enjoyment to the soul. But the body doesn't really need the sense of smell. We could live without smell. But yet God wants us to have a sense of smell, which is a way of us connecting to our soul. And there's two proofs, this idea that the soul is connected to the sense of smell. One practical, rabbinical, halachic, and one biblical. So what do you guys think? What's the source that we know that our nostrils... Excellent, Shira, very good. So the first is the fact that God breathed a soul into man. So the nostrils is the source of life, right? If we, when we're doing our breathing meditations and breathing joy class, we talk a lot about that. So smelling and breathing is really bringing God's vitality into ourselves. Excellent. And what else on a weekly basis reminds us how soul...
Havdalah.
Very good. When we start our week, we bring soul into ourselves by smelling the Havdalah candle and Havdalah spices. Very good. So we know this is true. When you're smelling something, you're bringing life into yourself. It's interesting. Yesterday, I was on my first tour with this group, and we were in Ein Gedi. And if you've ever been to the synagogue in Ein Gedi, they talk about the secret of Ein Gedi. So there's all, in the synagogue on the floor, it's like an ancient synagogue. They write on the floor, don't reveal the secret of Ein Gedi. So there's basically, the theory is that they had a special spice called the Afar Shamon. It's mentioned in the Talmud also. And they knew how to make that delicious spice. A beautiful smelling thing. And we were actually at the kibbutz in Gedi. And they showed us some of the things that might be the sweet smelling thing. It's very, very, very delicious. Very nice. And even though I need to work on this trait of stopping and smelling the roses, not just like running from mitzvah to mitzvah, but just like throwing down. So smell is there to kind of connect us to ourselves before we run. Okay. Nonetheless, we don't have a bracha achrona. While the rabbis decreed that we should have a bracha rishona to enjoy smell, bracha achrona, that's only if you're satisfied. Chalta savata barachta. That's food. It's not smell. Okay. Good. That's what the Mishnah Berurah clarifies.
So you want to say bracha achrona when your body is satisfied?
Indeed. Bracha achrona is from the Torah verse v'achalta v'savata v'rachta, which means that you should eat and be satisfied. So while the first blessing is more about the initial delight, the second blessing... Hey Dan, sure. The second blessing is about the satisfaction that you have to feel. That's why if you're still hungry, you're not obligated to thank God from a biblical perspective. Rabbinically, we do it anyway. But if you're so hungry, you have to eat until you're satisfied. Okay? So the Rolling Stones never benched because they couldn't get any satisfaction. anyways, okay. They probably didn't. They're not Jewish. Maybe they did. Grace. All right. Let's get practical. There are four blessings. Most people only know one. But there are four blessings that we should know about, three of which come up a lot. Okay. The first is borei atzei besamim. When you have a derivative of a tree and it smells nice, you're supposed to bless borei atzei besamim. Okay. The second is grass. Just like when it comes to food, the rabbis wanted to go into details to, you know, experience it on a different level. Life is about the details, right? If you want to thank someone, you got to get specific. So we're thanking God in a specific way. So we say, thank you for the grass things. Most things are adze and not yispe, but if it's made from a grass type of thing, from the ground, from a root, then it's an ispe besami. The third is mine. Mine besamim is like the shahakol of smells. Okay, so when we're not really sure if it's an isper or atze, or we just want to cover our bases, or if it's something synthetic, as we'll talk about, then you do a mine, which means God for the general spices. Right? And finally, Berachat Hashem l'kein ma'acholam, hanoten reach tov beperot, who gives a good smell to fruits. If there's a fruit that you're smelling because it has a nice smell, and very often on etrogim, or lemons, and you like the smell, people don't know this, there's a blessing that you're supposed to say.
Before
you smell it. Like every bracha, over liasiyatam, right? You say it. Sometimes you check to make sure it has a smell, and then you re-bless. Good?
Good.
Interesting? New?
Atze.
Isbe.
Isbe.
Like esev. So isbe.
Like esev?
Esev means grass in Hebrew. So
izbe.
And mine. And hanoten reach tov laperot. Okay? The thing with etrog is a little complicated. Specifically etrog, everyone likes to smell it on Sukkot, but you're not supposed to use it in a way that's kind of disgraceful. You should use it for its mitzvah purpose. So on Sukkot, we generally refrain from saying the blessing on etrog. Only after Sukkot, if you still have your etrog, then you say the bracha.
So you're not supposed to really smell it on Sukkot?
Yeah, in general, you would refrain if you can. If you smell it, it's not the end of the world. Not a veira, but since you're supposed to say a bracha, the halacha is you wait. Okay? Good. And now, an interesting thing that this probably the most time, the practical time when people say the blessing on smelling is, of course,
Psalm
on Havdalah, right? Now, here we have a very interesting machlekes between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Sephardim do it the way that would make sense, like according to the Shulchan Aruch. If it's an esev, if it's grass, you say an esev, and if it's an eitz, then it's an eitz, and you say the proper bracha, like any other time. The Ramah points out that we don't know the laws of smell so well. You guys do, because you came to the shir tonight. But everyone else doesn't, because, I don't know. So therefore, he says, mine besamim. Just do a general blessing, because it's like a shakal. Like, nobody really knows. Just do a mine besamim.
I'm not like, not that everyone doesn't know, just he assumes the people aren't familiar enough that they'll do it wrong.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And he's concerned they're going to say, bracha, you know, just cover our bases. Which others would say, just learn the halacha. What do you mean? But no, he says, we say, and that's the minhag of Ashkenaz. And each one is good. I've heard rabbis say, if you really want to say the right bracha, it's okay. The Ramah will forgive you. But in general, that's why we say, mine besamim, if you go to a Sephardi place, they'll do atze or ispe. But they won't do the Debbie Friedman song. So, you know, you gotta.
Is that the song that we do?
Sephardim generally won't do that. Unless they do. Some of them do.
It's the best part.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a preference for which spice you're saying it on for Sephardim?
So the Ben Ish Chai, I just read this actually recently. The Ben Ish Chai, so Sephardi posek, points out that there is a custom to do hadas, myrtle, which is mentioned in the famous story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer. And there is a custom for Kabbalistic reasons. But other than that, no. It's all good. Anyway, there's usually like mint or myrtle and things like that left at the Kotel. Because, you know, if you ever go into a Kotel on Friday night, you'll have 10 people offering you spices to get your 100 blessings in. It's a lot of fun. And they'll tell you what's ispe and atze and mine. You get it all in there. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But yeah, hadas, if you're Sephardi. Ashkenazim.
I don't know about these 100 blessings.
So we'll have to do another share about that. So there's a, but I'll give you the quickie version. There is a halacha mentioned in the Gemara based on David HaMelech. There was a plague breaking out, and he, to quash the plague, he decreed that we should do 100 blessings a day. So this is for men in general, not women aren't obligated in this, as I'll explain, because generally we have 3 amidahs each day, so we already have 77 blessings. So it's not so hard to get to 100. You have your Birchot HaShachar, that's another 15, 16. And then you eat a little bit, you go to the bathroom a little bit. You know, it's fine. Hamapil before you go to bed. On Shabbos, our Shemone Esrei are only 7 blessings. So even though we daven 4 times, most of we are short on blessings. And therefore, many have the custom to bless on spices, like myrtle and things like that. And that now you'll know why there's a bunch of people who are giving myrtles out and stuff like that at the Kotel. They want to help people get to that 100 blessings.
Isn't Ein Kelohenu supposed to help with that too?
That's another idea, Ein Kelohenu. Help you get there. Another idea is blessings on the Torah can help you get there. The idea that our whole life should be constantly blessingful. We're always finding ways to connect to Hashem and take our taivas, our desires, whatever, and turn it towards a way of gratitude. So 100, yeah. But Bezrat Hashem, one day we'll do a longer shir about it. That's one of the reasons why you have smelly. Also goes back to the famous story of Rishim Bar Yochai and the myrtle, which we will definitely learn inside on Lag BaOmer. By Lag BaOmer time, we'll, at the Simcha Center, we'll shtag that story. But it might be related to that. Because Shabbos is what really convinces Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to integrate physicality into his life. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Fine. Okay. So another interesting thing is synthetic smelling things. Right, like you go to the store. You have all these nice herbs. This, that, it smells nice. If I'm smelling that and I wanna, you know, enjoy, do I say a blessing? Yeah, you hear the question. So, any thoughts? Anyone feel strongly one way or the other?
No.
No, you say no. Why not? Why not? Yeah.
It's man-made. It's synthetic.
It's man-made. Good. So that is one side of the post-game. It's not real. It's not from Hashem.
But when we eat something that is synthetic, so we say a blessing.
Oh, beautiful. What and we have the other side. Tzipora is telling you of the machlokes. Excellent. Tzipora said that there are things that we eat which are synthetic too, which are not God-made, like chocolate or coffee or beer. Right? Or what, right? We have a process, and yet we say thank you to God. So actually, Tzipor is representing the opinion of the Chazon Ish, and Lian, right?
Yes.
Is representing the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Okay? Big postkin, modern postkin. Obviously, many other rabbis got involved in the argument, but both sides are legitimate, obviously. It's both huge poskim, huge rabbis. They get a little lumdish. I was learning this today. I thought of the following chilek. Do we compare smelling? Is the goal of the blessing of the smell to connect to nature and recognize praise for God, birchot ha-shevach, as we'd call it, for the wonders of the world? In which case, it would have to be natural. So as we'll learn, hopefully today, if not today, next time, you don't say a blessing on a dam or something man-made, as beautiful as it is. But that's not the goal. The goal is to connect to nature. So if you see something that's man-made, you don't say the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereishit. Or is it about pleasure? Simply taking my pleasures in life, like smell, and saying, who cares if it's man-made or God-made? It's a way of enjoying life, and we should thank God. And the Gemara says that we should never enjoy life without thanking Hashem. Which is the way I would say, even if you don't have an official blessing with God's name, always, you know, you're having a great day, you're exercising, you're feeling good energy, thank Hashem. Like, use everything.
This is so interesting, because there's a whole field of aromatherapy, which mm-hmm. every aroma has a healing potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, so it's a way of reminding us to use smell for healing.
Mm-hmm. Wow, awesome! Yeah.
If you smell for healing, would you not make a bracha?
That is an interesting question.
That's an interesting question.
Right, it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to water, for example, if you're drinking water just for health,
and you don't enjoy it at all. You just, so then you don't say a blessing. But if you're drinking it also because you enjoy it and also because it's healthy, then you do say a blessing. So I would guess that most people who are smelling something that smells nice, even though you're doing it primarily for health, but if you're deriving enjoyment from it, so you would still say a blessing. Assuming that you say blessings on synthetic things, which is the position of Rav Malamed. He takes the he thinks that the majority of poskim say that you do say a blessing, and those are those who disagree, right? Those who are very weary about saying God's name and a blessing, suffix. In general, his shita is, if that's what the Gemara says, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch indicates, and that's what our mind seems to be logical, say the blessing with Hashem's name. He's very open to saying blessings with Hashem's name when it comes to places that other people are too scared about. Okay? So he would say, if you're, you know, lavender, whatever, and you like the smell, and you just need to wake me up, say a blessing. But you would say a borei mine besamim, because it's general, not specifically from the fruit. Cool? Make sense?
So synthetic is borei mine.
So synthetic, according to Malamed, is borei mine, and according to others, you would not say a blessing, but you could always say it without God's name. Say brachat Hashem, if you really want to connect to Hashem. Awesome. Okay. Another interesting example is tabak. You guys know what tabak is? A little bit. So if you've ever been to a shul on Yom Kippur, especially in the men's section of Hamish shuls, so they'll pass around this kind of sharp smelling thing. I actually don't know what it's made of. Dan, you know what it's made of? I don't know. It's like some plant. Yeah, ground up. It's very strong and poignant. It's meant to wake you up a little bit. So the question is, do you say a bracha on this? Because you're not doing it because it smells good, generally. You're doing it because of the effects it will have, but it's not a pleasure type of thing.
But it's still rejuvenating.
But it is rejuvenating.
And that, and sort of on a certain level, pleasure is rejuvenating. And that's...
So, no, right. No, in English, we use pleasure to mean, you know, many things, including rejuvenation. I think oneg in Hebrew specifically refers to something which is a more laid-back, delightful type of experience, mm-hmm. you know? Even though there are other types of things like which are enjoyable long-term. So, lemaisa, if you enjoy the smell of the tabak, you say a blessing. But if you really don't like it so much, it's just to wake you up, or just because the guy's passing it along. So then,
you're saying oneg is the operative word?
I think so. I'm not an expert enough to tell you, but I believe it needs to be something enjoyable. And oneg is the first thing that comes to my head. Okay. Another practical shaila. Okay, a few more really, really practical questions. So perfume. Okay, assuming we go like Rav Malamed, that we use, that synthetic is a real blessing. And it's good that we have mostly girls here, because I've never smelled a perfume. I've never worn a perfume. I don't really know about these things. But you guys can let me know that people like the smell of perfume. And people think it smells good. So I'm smelling a perfume. Do I say a bracha? Does that merit a blessing? So Rav Malamed says, yes, absolutely. When you smell a perfume, you should say borei mine besamim.
And if you smell it on someone?
Oh. So, yes. What? I think so. I believe if you are smelling them, not if you happen to smell, but if you're like
smelling
taking
what?
A whiff because it smells
of
so
someone else
of someone else, then yes, you could say a blessing on that. It's amazing.
What about shampoo? What about...
We will get to that. Very good. Very good. Very good. That's our next topic. With that said, there are some times when we would not say a blessing on perfume. You're not allowed to smell another woman. L'chaim. Okay? So, Sam, you'll enjoy this. If you go over to another woman who's not your wife and you smell her perfume, that is not allowed. Okay, you're not allowed to do that according to the halacha.
What if you can't help yourself? What
okay, it happens. If you smell it, you smell it. But
you're on an elevator. Right?
If you smell it, it's one thing.
To the person, I think.
Yeah, you have to specifically go over and take a whiff.
Oh, wow.
But because halacha, which is a little weird, and I've never done that. Maybe you guys will. But I do have a funny story. I'll save it. But anyways, you do not do that on another woman unless it's your wife. If it's your wife and you like the smell, I believe you can say the blessing. Look at that. Good thing.
Okay.
If it's your husband, it's a little weird that he's wearing perfume.
Cologne.
Cologne, okay. All right. Some people are into that. And I guess you could say a blessing. I guess so. So, fun halacha fact of the day.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's talk about deodorant and bathroom refreshers. Okay? You do a nice home and it smells very nice because they put the bathrooms up. So there, one would not make a blessing. Why not? Because the goal, the reason the smell was made was to get rid of the bad smell. Okay? So since it's a negative thing, it doesn't merit its own blessing. If, on the other hand, you just love the smell of that, you know, fragrance, and you put it around your house because it smells so nice, so absolutely, you would say a blessing. And if you want to really, like, make a home wife feel great one night, you can go into their home and smell the nice waft and say, Baruch Ata Hashem Kein Machlam B'Reim Nei B'Samim. That's what Pnei Halacha says. No problem. That's a great thing to do.
It could be on any smell. I thought B'Reim was meant to be natural.
And that's why you gotta come early to the shiur.
Okay. Okay. And you could do it on chemical. I know, I understand.
Yeah, so you're right.
It doesn't seem right.
Okay. Rav Shmuel, you are a mamish the neshama of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says that you don't say a blessing on synthetic things. But we paskin like the Chazan Ish, because Rav Muhammad paskins like the Chazan Ish, and even synthetic merits
good
a blessing.
Know.
Great
good
to know.
Thank you.
Great.
You know what's so amazing about this blessing is that it's recognizing how smell changes the energy, fragrance changes the energy of the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, you walk into some of the hotels in Jerusalem, and the first thing is you're hit by the aromas. Have you walked into the Enbal lately? Or?
Yeah, nachon. You're right. It makes a big difference, and it's our way of connecting to our souls. Yeah. Absolutely.
Rabbi Anava says that.
She's
listening
to.
Yeah, right? So what were you listening to?
Shvat.
So he says that one way of helping strengthen Emuna is actually through smell. He says that, like, if you know someone who's kind of struggling with Emuna, like, have them smell some things.
That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Kol Neshama.
Wow.
Cool.
Oh, that's good.
Awesome. That's good. Awesome. Yeah. It's also a great tip, like, just not overeat and not go too fast to smell things. And
yeah.
Awesome. I'm giving moisture to myself because I need to slow down and smell things.
What about, sorry, I have to ask this question. I don't like the smell of cloves. Why is cloves chosen?
It's a good question.
It's not. It's just what we ended up, a lot of people doing. It's not the only one thing.
But it's a no-brainer. Why is it just the default spice for...
That is a good sociological question. There's no halachic reason why cloves are any better than anything else.
Really? So it could be anything.
Oh, yeah. Cinnamon. You can go out and pick some of the stuff like on Beersheba Street. They have all those, like... And everywhere. Yeah, you can sage. You can do anything.
Nachan.
As long as it has an option.
For some reason, that was just the thing that was chosen. I don't know. You know, I don't know the deeper reason. Tziporen, it has a nice name. Tziporen.
I like it.
I don't know. But it's a good question. It actually is a shaila if you really don't like the smell. Because, so it goes like this. If you like the smell of something that nobody likes the smell of, you love gas stations. You just love it. It's great for you. So you're weird and you can't say Ibrahim and Abbasamim because that's not normal. But the question is,
lawnmower.
But the question is, if you don't like the smell of something that most people like, so it's a shaila. So, for example, if you have a cold and you can't smell something, so you can't say bracha. So, I think it depends on your degree of not liking it. If it's just like, I guess, a moderate, like doesn't do anything for you, like clothes for a lot of people, I think you could still say bracha. If you really hate the smell of clothes, so then, I don't know. I'm not sure how you can make a bracha on something that you don't enjoy, if it's really about enjoyment. So
can you amen the bracha? of someone else? Because in
I mean, I don't know if they really did anything. You know, they may have made it a false blessing.
No, I'm saying she's saying in Havdalah, right?
Oh, for
so she's not making the bracha, but she is.
I smelled and she's
benefiting from.
Gotcha.
Yotze.
Yeah, yeah.
Because nachon. It's mamein.
Because other people okay. smelled. Yeah, nachon.
You're right. You don't have to actually smell it yourself. If you're at
a... That's a good question. It's definitely better to personally smell it, but that's an interesting question.
Rav Sternbach lost his sense of smell. He doesn't do the samim for Havdalah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think you do. I think it would make sense that you because you need to derive it. I think you actually do have to smell from the thing itself. It's not like Guffin where it's about the blessing. We're just honoring the blessing with wine. It's the Indian is smelling.
Yeah.
So yeah.
My friend's mom is like an energy healer or something. I don't understand it either. But she says that like after the summon, she can see an energy change.
Really?
In people. Yeah.
Cool.
Specifically that one.
What do you mean?
That's so cool.
You know, it's really funny.
Like in Havdalah, after people smell.
I think if we took a poll, there'd probably be enough people who are okay with / like the smell of gasoline that you probably. Would be able to pass.
Yeah, I could be on
mute. How does it sound? I bet you would hit the minimum for it.
It's an interesting question. If something's like subjectively becomes a good smell for you because of association and things like that.
Also that.
Does that, you know, change it or that's the reality? That's reality. It's a good a good shayla. Tight. But Lamaisa, deodorant and bathroom smells does not get its own blessing. Another thing that comes up if you're walking around India anytime soon. So they have those pink things all everywhere and beautiful smell, and it's Avodah Zarah.
I was going to say,
straight up Avodah Zarah. So do not say a blessing on that because it's getting benefit out of a forbidden thing, which is not cool.
What does Avodah Zarah mean?
Idolatry. There's a lot of weird idolatries, and literally you walk down the street in India and it's everywhere. People are just, you know, wake up for Nate and then they do their Avodah Zarah. So.
Are these the things that they stink and you burn it? And
yes, the incense. The incense. Yes. So you have to be careful with incense.
But it's only in foreign countries or even if.
So again, there's nothing wrong with incense. Incense is good. Ketoret is incense. We use it in the Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara talks about the smell to be smelled from all of Yerushalayim. It's a beautiful thing, it's part of our tradition. Just if it's been used for idolatry, that particular incense is problematic.
What if it was made, like the actual incense was dipped and made with the intention of being used for Avodah Zarah, but then like I picked it up and I'm like, I'm going to just make my house smell nice.
That's a great shayla. I don't know the answer, but I might guess that it is problematic since its intent was made for idolatry, but I'm not sure.
So then you have to really know your source.
Yeah, sure.
Just from what I know, some people have an issue with wigs because the hair is
made specifically.
So in that sort of framework, I would apply a similar thing to that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I was concerned about. I don't know well enough to say. I'm not a Pesach, but it's a good shayla. Mm-hmm. Taif, a few more practical examples of smell. So if you go to a botanical garden, right, you guys are going to kibbutz in Gedi, and they have beautiful botanical gardens, and the goal is smell. So yes, if you go and you're blessing each, so it's like this, each fruit gets its own blessing, but if they're all in with an eyesight, so they're all right next to each other, so I wouldn't say, you know, I would just do one on them all together. But if you go into one tree and then you go to another tree and you go to another tree and each one has its own smell, so then they each get their own blessing. And if there's been a hefsek, similarly, if you said a blessing and just like when it comes to food and then you left and then you came back and you said one, say another blessing, so you can do that. And you could say, get your 100 blessings in that way.
Does the blessing on food cover how it smells?
Oh, so it's coffee. So coffee and bread. So that these are interesting. Let's say you go into a coffee shop and you love the smell of coffee. Or if you go into a bakery and you know that they purposely made it smell really good just to get you in there. Right? Mm-hmm. So can you say a blessing? So here, the Pnine Halacha makes a distinction. Because when it comes to bread, bread is our ikker food, it's our main food. it would almost be a disgrace to the bread to start blessing other blessings on the bread. So no, you don't say a blessing when you're in a bakery.
Really? What if you're in the bakery to buy it and you're not going to eat it then?
And you're only going for the smell?
One of two things. You're either going in just to go for the smell, or you're going in to buy it, but then you're not even close to eating it at that point. You're just eating it, you're going to buy it.
So he says, Lamaisa, the degree is there's no blessing on things which are primarily there for food purposes.
Oh, okay.
However, coffee, he says that there is a thing, there are a lot of people that really like the smell of fresh coffee.
Yeah.
And it's not quite as powerful as bread. There, I mean, historically, it wasn't the main, you know, centerpiece of our diet. And therefore, if you are taking a waft specifically to enjoy the smell of the coffee, you should say a blessing.
Mm.
That's interesting. You can do it tonight. And I'd probably apply the same thing with tea and things like that. Yeah. If you like the smell and you want to impress everyone with your halachic knowledge, and you learned at the Simpla Center. The whole goal, of course.
Drop the name in there.
Yeah. So then you can say a blessing on the tea or this coffee. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not, you don't know if it's Levatala, if I will then make the blessing on the food. On
no, it's not Levatala. There's two separate things. There's a blessing on smell and a blessing on food.
Which comes first?
I don't know. I would guess the one that you're more excited about, because Rambam says when it comes to food, the one that you're more excited about. So it just makes more sense to do smell first. No, smell it, say the bracha, and then drink it. I think like once you're already drinking it, you've shown that your main intention is eating, and the smell is almost less chashuv. So if you have a lemon, you like the smell of lemon, you can say a blessing, and then you eat the lemon.
Is it the noten reach?
Exactly. Or the etrog after Sukkot, as we've learned. Okay. I'm just trying to leave anything out.
You shouldn't do it during
Sukkot. To quote the custom is not to do it because it's a disgrace to the mitzvah. He gets into the nitty-gritty details of what's considered an esev, a grass, and what's considered a plant. Jasmine and rosemary and how halachically we define a tree. So it's a bit complex. So if you have a specific shayla, I actually have a source sheet. I can give it to you guys or email it to you guys if you want. It goes through a lot of the details of like what's considered an atze, what's considered an ispe. Most things are atze, actually. Like, so I'll get just to common examples. Cloves, tziporin, rosemary, hadas.
Rosemary is
atze?
It's got a strong branchy.
So it's the bush, it's not?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a machlokis about mint, interestingly enough.
Oh, really?
And he says you say amine. Because he's not sure.
I've heard the kotel saying isbe.
That's true. That's true. It's machlokis. Again, like everything. When it comes to hilchos brachos, everything's a machlokis.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm telling you of Melamed's opinion, but.
Is Melamed the Ashkenaz, the Germanic?
Rav Melamed is a poisek for Ashkenazim primarily, although he almost always mentions the Sephardi opinion, and he explains that this is my opinion, take it or leave it.
Uh-huh.
You know? Mm. But he explains why.
Yeah.
If you're unsure, can you just say
mine? Yes, you can do that. And also spices, tavlinim. So since we're primarily using them for food and not for smell, once they've been ground up into the little spice box, you wouldn't say bracha unless you're specifically smelling it for the smell. If you love the smell of cinnamon and you just want a mitzvah, so then I think it's okay to say a blessing.
Is there any of it having to maintain its form? If I ground up cinnamon, is that...
So again, yeah, that's why lemaisa would be better not to, meaning generally you wouldn't say bracha on cinnamon because it doesn't have its form. But if it still smells like cinnamon and we know it comes from cinnamon and you're wafting it for cinnamon, so just like coffee, right? It doesn't look like coffee anymore, but it has the smell of coffee. So you could also smell cinnamon if you like the smell.
Would it be basami rather than...
Are you saying is it bori mine or is it an... Yeah, I think it's mine. I don't think it loses its... It's like a shackle type of thing. It loses its unique status. Yeah. Okay. So that's basically smell, the laws of smell.
I have one more question. If someone has a mine, and then they, like, let's say ground up cinnamon or something, or something they're like, you know, cloves or whatever, and then they're like, they pick up a very definite isbe, or they pick up a very definite atzbe.
Mm-hmm.
Can they make the following ones on each? So could they make
effectively
all three?
Yes.
And then the mine on the makloket?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's like shackled that if it was in front of you, it was covered.
Got it. That it covers
it. I mean, you didn't think of it, right? You weren't trying.
Yeah.
It's a good kasha, and I didn't read it in the Sefer, but my intuition is
that. I think people have, you know, the spice trains where they have.
Yeah, like, you're right. Exactly. That's right. If you go to the Kotel, that's exactly what you experience.
Right.
So good. So just to sum up in 2 minutes, what we learned about the halachas of smell is that based on the pasuk kol neshama tekalelika talelka aluka, the Gemara derives that there's a blessing on smell, which is what our soul derives pleasure from, and not our body. And we said that there are four main blessings: atzei on trees, ispe on grass, har noten leach tov beperot, who gives nice smell on fruit, first fruits, and mine for general. We noted that there's a machlokas about synthetic, and the Pnini Halacha rules that you do say synthetic. We did a little lumdis to say what's the goal of a Mine Besamim. Is it gratitude, Shabbach, or is it Oneg, pleasure, Birchas Hana'a, or Birchas HaShabbach, to get a little lumdis on us. And then we talked about machlokas about Havdalah between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, Mine versus the specific. And we talked about situations when we would not say a blessing, like if it's a avodah zarah, deodorants, things like that. But perfume, you would get a blessing.
Including
other people. Don't smell other people. It's weird. And then we said that you can go to a coffee shop, or certainly a nursery, or certainly something like that, and smell.
On the Griffiths Power Coffee.
Power Coffee. There we go. Good stuff. And
sorry to be naive. I don't know. If I walked into a rose garden, and they're all different varieties of roses.
Yeah, good question.
Do I only have to do the bracha once?
You do it once, I think so. But if you specifically go to a specific flower, and you like the smell of that flower, you can. I don't think you have to, but you can say a blessing. A separate blessing on that. But once you've already done it and it was with an eyesight, I don't know. I'm not sure. But certainly if it's like a different area and you want to say a blessing on this flower and you want to say a blessing on that flower, and they're different, then you can. Yeah. Hashem should bless us to sanctify our smell and use every opportunity to serve Hashem to thank Hashem. And we should smell good on the outside and inside. Rabbi Nachman very often talks about how a person purifies his soul through prayer and things like that. He smells good. Like Yitzchak Avinu, who could smell the smell of Yaakov Avinu. He has a certain smell. Tzadikim can smell. The Gemara says the Mashiach will be able to smell justice. Mm-hmm. Certain internal intuition.
It's a sense.
It's a sense. So, Shem Shem blessed us to smell really good. And now I'm going to ask one